Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through His word. Blessings.
I'm going to speak this morning from a familiar story in the Old Testament. And we're looking at part of the story in 1 Kings chapter 18. And I'll be giving you the rest of the story as I give this message today. But we'll begin with this part of the story in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 17. Then it happened, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said to him, "Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. You may say Carmel, you could say Carmel. I may say either one of those this morning. You could say it either way. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. When the nation of Israel was divided into the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, there were a total of 39 kings that ruled over a period of 326 years. The southern kingdom of Judah had 20 kings. Six of those 20 kings did some good in the midst of evil. But there were two kings in Judah, King Hezekiah and Josiah. They were very good kings. They were the best of all of the kings. The northern kingdom of Israel, on the other hand, had 19 kings. All of them did only evil in the sight of the Lord. And the most notorious of these evil kings was Ahab. And there are two verses back in chapter 16 that tell us who Ahab is and what he did. Now Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all of the kings of Israel who were before him. It has been said, we've all heard it said, that behind every good man is a good woman. I tend to believe that. But perhaps the opposite is also true, because Ahab was married to a woman whose name has become synonymous with evil, wicked behavior. In fact, Jezebel was at least as evil and wicked as Ahab, if not more so. And together they made a wicked duo that led the people of Israel into all manner of idolatry and gross immorality. Not only that, but they were on a mission to extinguish all of the true prophets of God, and they were succeeding. This is where the prophet Elijah comes on the scene, seemingly out of nowhere. And he confronts King Ahab with a word from the Lord. He said, "As the Lord lives, It is not going to rain until I give the word. Now, at first, you know, they might not have taken them all that with much seriousness when he said that. Maybe he thought that this guy's a religious fanatic, and who does he think he is to control the weather? But when a few months of dry weather turned into a year of drought, and then that year of drought became 3 years of drought, King Ahab began to send people out to search for the prophet Elijah. And whenever anyone went out and was searching for him, they came back empty-handed. They were killed. How would you like to be on a search party if you didn't succeed? It was curtains for you. You didn't find the person. And that's what happened. And so one day, King Ahab and his servant Obadiah, they were out in the vicinity of Samaria. They were looking for water, and King Ahab went in one direction and Obadiah went into another. And the prophet Elijah appeared to Obadiah and said, "Go tell Ahab that you found me." And Obadiah said, "What sin have I committed that you would want to do harm for me? Haven't you heard how I hid the prophets of God in a cave and took care of them? And I fear and serve the living God. As soon as I go and tell Ahab that I found you, the Spirit is going to lead you somewhere else. And then he's going to kill me." But the prophet Elijah said, "Do not worry, do not fear. I'm going to keep my word. You just go and you tell King Ahab that you found me, and I want to meet with him." And so he did, and Ahab came out to meet Elijah. And he said, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" And Elijah said, "Oh no, king, it's not me that's the troubler of Israel. You and your family are the troubler of Israel. Because you have broken every commandment of God. You have killed the prophets. You've led people into idolatry and immorality." But the prophet said, "I've come to challenge you. I want you to call all of Israel and assemble them on Mount Carmel. And not only the people, but gather up all of the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. All 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, and assemble them there on Mount Carmel. And have them build an altar and put a sacrifice on it. And I'll build an altar and I'll put a sacrifice on it. And the God who answers by fire, he will be proclaimed God of all." Now, here's the message. I want to get to the message this morning. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter?" You may have a translation that uses the word hesitate or waver, or literally limping along. How long are you going to falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. I want to point out to you this morning is what I'm going to call the three-part assembly. Because you have three parts of this story. First of all, you have the lone prophet of God. And this prophet Elijah, at this point, he's a mysterious figure. We know very little about the prophet Elijah. He's introduced to us as Elijah the Tishbite, which most assuredly probably refers to where he was from. But the problem is no one knows where Tishbite was. I mean, was it in Judah? Was it in Israel? Was it some other territory? We don't know. We don't even know if Elijah was a Jew. What we do know is that his name means Jehovah is my God. What we know is that he was a man of God with an uncompromising message. He was like John the Baptist. A voice crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." So you first of all, you have the man of God. You have the prophet Elijah. Then you have the false prophets of Baal, along with all of the false prophets of Asherah, 850 strong. These were the ones who did the legwork for Ahab and Jezebel. They were all about wickedness, evil, leading people in wickedness and evil. Abominations, false worship, rebellion, defiance. And so you have that group. And then you have, thirdly, the multitude of the undecided and uncommitted. These were the people that they were just straddling the fence. Just right there in the middle. They weren't perhaps totally evil, but they weren't good either. They're just right there in the middle. What I want to point out to you is that though times have changed, these same three groups are here today. You have, first of all, you have the godly. You know, the interesting thing is we tend to think that Elijah was perfect. He was flawless. He wasn't. James tells us that Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was human. And there are a lot of us. And I hope every one of you are in this camp this morning. That even though we're flawed, even though we're imperfect, we have a desire to be committed to God, to be governed by God, to follow God, to seek to be obedient to God. God told the prophet at one point, he said, I have 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. God has his people. And so in this world today, there are some who are godly. Then you have the ungodly. Just like the prophets of Baal and Asherah, they're rebellious and defiant. They reject God and His Word. They're enemies of the cross. They not only actively practice evil, but then they try to lead others in evil. I want to tell you something this morning. There are a lot of prophets of Baal and Asherah in our government and in our educational system. They call evil good and good evil. They put light for darkness and darkness for evil. There are many. And here's the thing, folks, look. They're enthusiastic about what they're doing. And more so than a lot of church-going people. They really believe in what they're doing, and they're promoting it with enthusiasm and determination. Then you have, and that leads me to this group that I want to key in on, the undecided and uncommitted. There are a lot of people today who are just trying to straddle the fence, just to get along, no pushback, willing to compromise in any way, just to not to rock the boat. And a lot of these people may be religious, maybe church-going people. The church of Laodicea, in the revelation that Jesus was speaking to these churches, the seven churches, the church of Laodicea was in this category. And here's what Jesus said to them. I'll get a hold of this today. Jesus looked at this church. They had a lot of things going. They had plenty of finances. They had programs. They had all kinds of things. But he said to this church, I would that you were either cold or hot. Those are opposites. Cold or hot. Do you know that God can get sick? Did you ever think about that? What makes God sick? There's only one place I know of, and unless someone corrects me, but there's only one place where it says that God, at least he likens himself to someone getting sick. And here it is. Because you are lukewarm, Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, and neither cold nor hot. I will vomit you out of my mouth. Folks, please hear me today. There are people today, they want to form and create their own Jesus. That they want the Jesus that they accept. They want some type of in-between where Jesus is just all accepting of everything and everyone and so forth. But let me tell you about Jesus. He made it clear. Jesus talked about two roads. Remember that? The narrow way and the broad way. I think I just preached on that not long ago. There's only two roads. One leads to destruction, the other leads to life. There are two trees Jesus talked about. There's a good tree that bears good fruit and a bad tree that bears bad fruit. There are two places, heaven and hell. There's no in between. There is no purgatory. Once you're in hell, you're not getting out. It's permanent. There's no in between. It's heaven or hell. And there are two builders. Remember the parable about there's someone that builds on the rock and someone that builds on the... You're a builder today. Right now, you are either building on sand, you're following false gods, you're building on something that's going to crumble, or you're building your foundation on the rock, which is Jesus. It's got to be either one. That's why one of the verses that you hear me talk about quite often is 1 John chapter 5. Verse 12, it leaves no gray area. Here it is, 1 John 5, 12. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. No in between there. And so, these three groups that we're looking at in this story, they're right here today. But I want to say something, and it pains me to point this out, but I want to give you the facts. There's actually more to be admired among these false prophets. As wicked and evil as they were, there's more to be admired about them than this undecided, uncommitted multitude. Let's look at this for a moment. What about these false prophets? They had courage. They weren't afraid of a challenge. They weren't afraid of laying it all on the line, even if it meant humiliation and death. They stood up to Elijah, and they had courage to do that. They also had an enthusiasm. I hope you read this whole story sometime this afternoon. You can read the 18th chapter to get all the details. But these false prophets, they were enthusiastic. Folks, there are people who are living ungodly, sinful, wicked lives, and they're enthusiastic about it. They're trying to lead others in the same path. And the Bible tells us that these false prophets, you know what they did? They were praying in a loud voice. They were jumping and leaping all around that altar and that sacrifice. They were cutting themselves. That's how enthusiastic they were. And then they had determination. They weren't going to quit until the end. They were determined to see this through to the very end. But let me get to the other part here. Having said that, they're exposed. They're exposed for who they are, for what they believe. The prophet Elijah exposes these false prophets of Baal and Asherah. I want to point out three things here. They were, first of all, objects of sarcasm. They were serving a god. They could not deliver them in the day of trouble. Here's an interesting side note. I, I was thinking about this week, that this so-called God of Baal was a God of fertility and rain. Isn't this interesting? It was a God of rain and storms. And Elijah comes speaking for the true and living God. He says, it's not going to rain for 3 years. He already exposed them. And they were objects of sarcasm because the God that they were serving could not deliver them in a day of trouble. Who are you serving today? Who's going to deliver you in the day of trouble? The Bible talks about gods that have eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, and hands that cannot touch. A lot of people today, they're serving gods that aren't going to be able. The God of money is not going to be able to deliver in the day of trouble. So Elijah, he mocks them. If you read the story, he tells them, call out a little bit louder to your God. Maybe your God's sleeping, he said. Maybe your God's on a long journey somewhere. And they become objects of sarcasm. Folks, I'm challenging all of us today. Look, who are we going to serve? Whatever we think about the most, whatever we talk about the most, whatever we spend our time and treasure on, that's really what we're serving. Who is it for you? Then I see, secondly, these false prophets are objects of pity. I pity people that they're just following blindly and serving whatever it is that they're serving, giving themselves to false gods. They're to be pitied. And Baal could not give anything back to them. And so we see them, these false prophets, at the end of the day, they're worn, they're weary, they've given their all, and they get nothing in return. And that leads me to the third thing. They're objects of judgment. Because you see, in the end, when you serve a false god, the end is going to be death and judgment. The wages of sin is death. And here, these wicked prophets, they lost their lives because of their wickedness, because they served a false god. And so what happened in the story? They're up there on Mount Carmel, and they have the sacrifice prepared there. What a scene. And Elijah said, douse the sacrifice that he had, douse it with water. Now think about that. They were in a drought after 3 years. That water was precious. But he says, pour water on it. Not once, not twice, but three times they did it till there was a puddle there. And then he called upon God, and the fire of God came. You know, as I was thinking about that, you know, the perfect sacrifice on the altar was Jesus. You know what the real fire is? The fire of the Holy Spirit that comes, burns up the chaff in our lives, purifies us, cleanses us. That perfect sacrifice that Jesus gave. And then when this was accomplished, Elijah told his servant, go out and look for rain. Go out and see if there's a cloud out there. And he looked and there was nothing. They did this seven times. Elijah told him as he was bowed down to the ground, go out seven times. Finally, the servant came back. He said, I see a cloud way out there in the sea, and it's about the size of my hand. And before long, the clouds came, the wind and heavy rain came. Folks, what a mighty God we serve. Amen. What miracle do you need today? What a mighty God we serve. Look at this verse. I'm coming to a close here in a minute. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. That's what the prophet Joel was crying out. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Have you decided? We sang that song, I have decided. Have you? This is for real today. Have you decided? And we're not talking about up here in your mind. That's part of it. But even the demons believe and tremble. What I'm talking about is heart possession. Knowing Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Have you decided to know Him? Here's a sad verse in Jeremiah chapter 8. Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? You see, folks, I think we're in a time of sifting, really. We've been in this where God's going to separate the chaff from the wheat, and He's calling us. We've got to decide, are we going to straddle the fence? We're going to be totally committed to Him. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we're not saved. I pray to God. And the whole reason I even did this message this week, I was going to go off on what I was preaching on last Sunday about unity. And I started going off on, in a vein like that. And then the Lord checked me on that. And I want to be obedient to deliver this message, but it's my heart's desire. My whole reason for this is that if you haven't decided, how long are you going to falter? How long are you going to hesitate before you make a decision? Today could be the day, right now, for you to receive Jesus into your life.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.